Okay. Okay, it's good to be here this evening, and we're going to prepare ourselves in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensure the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace. It continues and continues and continues. And that's so great because that's exactly what we need, is to have more grace, because we all need it. And we thank you that we are able to come to this church and grow in grace and knowledge. We also pray for Charlie's daughter, that's gone to the hospital in Bryan, and she had several things that were serious, and so we need to pray for her as well as we go on. So we pray that the things that they are addressing will be able to overcome, and that they'll do everything in their power to do it right, and we just pray for her well-being. So we also want to pray for our nation. It's still under a lot of stress, but we know that you are the one that is in charge of all things, and that your will is going to be done. And we also pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate on our studies this evening. Well, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see. Oh, there it is. I was trying to get it on there before, and I thought it was gone, and there it is. So, let's see if I can pull this up. No.
Is impersonal love the same as unconditional love?
We're going to see. That's about all we're going to be covering tonight, and I'm going to go into it in a big way. Let's see. What did you do to get this top part up out of the way?
I sure right-click until it's inside the ribbon.
Oh, inside the ribbon?
Yeah, just right-click.
Oh, I'll probably do it with my... Uh-oh. If I just did it inside. The down button? I don't have one. I mean, we could leave it, but it bothers me. Oh, there. What'd you do down there? Okay. Don't y'all like it better without that other stuff on there, too, on the top? You have more to look at there. Okay. Yeah, I like it too. Okay, we're going to start up here, which is where we started last time, and I'm not going to just go through everything there. And we're only this far away from where we're going to start anyway, right here. But I wanted to bring these out because it's been a few days since we saw these, and go over this. And we're in this area, characteristics of impersonal love and unconditional love. There is a difference, and we're going to be concentrating probably this entire night on what the differences are and how they work. And point number one is huge. It tells us a lot about this. Impersonal love changes into unconditional love when it endures despite unfavorable circumstances. So impersonal love, and I'm going to get this as we go on, has a particular way that it is used, and when it gets, we might say, when it starts to getting challenged, then the unconditional love is what kicks in, and despite unfavorable circumstances. So that's what it is. Impersonal love morphs into unconditional love when you're going to stand fast and love them with unconditional love. So here's point number A. Impersonal love employs God's command to not judge others, but to love one another. Those are two huge commands. And the first one is most important when we get around people and they are not, let's say, pleasant. We are to love one another. You love them. Now, let me explain one thing also. Impersonal love employs God's command to not judge others, but to love one another. Now, that love isn't the kind of love that you would have for a family member or friends or people like that. It means to love another person is to not judge them, not be angry with them, not gossip about them. You do everything to lift them up, encourage, and that type of thing. But it doesn't mean that you love them in the same way you love significant people in your area. Okay, so that's important to understand there. It doesn't matter who they are, what they are like, whether you know them or not, whether they are mean or nice, male or female, believers or unbelievers, rich or poor, we are not to judge them, but to love them. And that is being done under impersonal love. Now, one reason that impersonal love is what it is, what it says, is because it means you don't actually know these people necessarily. You might know them, but just on the same token, you can love them even though you don't know them. You might not know their name. You don't know where they came from. But whenever you get in a situation and you're going to employ impersonal love, it can be for anybody. You might not ever know their name or anything about them, but you can still treat them with unconditional love. And if y'all have a question or thing or something, just raise your hand. Point C is unconditional love is employed when unfavorable circumstances develop where we can keep our composure by loving them. And again, it's the same thing I just said. You don't have to send them a Christmas present. You don't have to tell them how wonderful they are. You might not even know their name, but you're going to be in the impersonal mode by not judging them and being ready to befriend them. Unconditional love is employed when unfavorable circumstances develop where we keep our composure by loving them. See, when you keep your composure, instead of you not liking a person and they are a snob or maybe they're a jerk or whatever it may be, the way that you can keep your composure is by loving them. And I just told you, it doesn't mean that you have to have any type of knowing them, but you can still love them by not, what did I say? Not by judging them, and you are ready to make a new friend if that's what it's going to go to. Let's just skip some of this because I want to get down to where we're going to be. This one's pretty important. Let's go over this one. Of course, it should be evident that we don't have the power or the ability to love someone who hates us and all they want to do is argue with us and be a jerk. Now, I assume that everybody here and everybody that is watching online have met these kind of people. Nobody wants to be around those kind of people. Sometimes they're hard to get away from. But you have the ability to love someone, and you're not going to think about how horrid they are. You might be praying for them, and you might want to help them, but still you can have this unconditional love. But this doesn't mean that unconditional love is impossible. Did you see what I put here? That someone who hates us and all they want to do is argue with us and be a jerk. And but this doesn't mean that unconditional love is impossible. Now, it may be impossible for us in certain circumstances, and that's because we are human. It may be for us in certain circumstances where it might be impossible for us. But here's my point. But it certainly is not impossible for the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power and guidance to love anyone unconditionally. That's a pretty big thing, isn't it? That you can love anyone unconditionally. In other words, that doesn't mean that they can give me a certain conditions and I'm going to make a deal with them. This is about love, and it's not about making deals. But we can always go through the Holy Spirit, and He is going to give us His power and His guidance as to what to do. So it's not us that have the ability to do this, but the Holy Spirit will give us His power and guidance, and then we can do anything. We can, even to the point, He gives us the power and guidance to love anyone unconditionally. Okay? Been listening so much to things on the news. Let's see. This is two. Okay, we'll just have this right here and we'll be right where we're going to start. Number two is this is love in action rather than feeling. When you are treating someone unconditionally, the thing that's the big deal is not what you feel or what they feel. We'll see in these two notes here what we're talking about. So under this point two, we have A. Most people believe that love is a feeling, an emotion, but that is not what true love is. True love is sacrificing oneself for the one you love. Now that's action. And when you really love someone, then you're going to sacrifice yourself to help the one that you love. And I think this should go out for every husband, because husbands should automatically take the hard things to do, the stinky garbage, and all the things and all the things that happen that is the dirtiest jobs. We should volunteer to do that, because that we are sacrificing ourselves to show our wife or our family that we love them. And that's the way it should be. Then point B here. It is our nature to argue with other people and to gossip about them, which is carried out in Satan's cosmic system. You're either in God's system, the divine dynasphere, or you're in Satan's cosmic system, where he has arrogance, and he has hate going for him there. And that's where you do not want to be. Anybody that's in Satan's cosmic system is in bad shape. You don't want to be there. And it's your decision whether you're going to be there or not. But when we are in the divine dynasphere, we have the power to treat others with unconditional love. And that brings us to today. And we're going to start with number 3. These are on the side. Each one of these numbers have anywhere from 2 to 10 sub things here, because what we have under the numbers is explaining what that is in the numbers is about. So number 3 says, a new decision for each set of circumstances. Unconditional love is not used the same way when facing the real world. Each situation has a different way of addressing people and different kinds of circumstances. So you need to have in your mind that you're going to pray for these people. You know the Holy Spirit is going to give you the power and understanding what to do. But don't go into another place where the circumstances are different and the people are different, and yet you're going to try to handle it the same way all the time. There's a lot of people out there that try to give the gospel that way, And a lot of people can sniff it right out and recognize that this is being done in rote. In other words, this is all they do. What we need is to have prayer before we get to someone that we are going to have unconditional love. And we need to just be flexible and be ready for whatever the shifts and turns or whatever it may be, because the Holy Spirit is with you and He is going to guide you. So you don't have to have something that you're going to do every time, because things change. And you need to have the time element for the Holy Spirit in that particular circumstances with those particular people. And that's what He's going to help you with. Especially the people. You know that how different people are. You might have a situation where there's some really nice people and they're easy to talk to, but they're not on board. Or you might have some, well, I call them jerks, that are loudmouths and just want to just cause trouble. Point B. The situation is usually different every time we employ unconditional love, so we can need to be flexible as to how to handle the issue at hand. Don't think about, well, last time I did it this way. Well, this is another situation. Just as it comes, the Lord is going to give you the doctrines that you need and how to handle this issue that is different than the other ones that you've used. Point C. The people that are involved will surely be different, and we need to know how to handle them. If you don't know them, it's a good idea to ask them questions. But I want to address this first one first. The people that are involved will surely be different, and we need to know how to understand them. I can remember when I was in, I think it was a high-rise building in Houston, and I was the superintendent, and we had a lot of plumbers out there and different people. And I can remember one time two guys came in, and one of them was operating a backhoe, and the other one was a plumber. And they came in, and they both were about 6'7", something huge. And they came in, and they were just about at fisticuffs because of whatever thing it was. And I remember something from the Bible then. I was thinking this when they came in. I remember David, when he had people before him like that, the first thing he did was tell them to sit down. Because when they sit down, they can't do much damage. And so when they came up to me and they were both talking at the same time, I said, wait, stop. I said, just sit down. And when you sit down, you kind of relax. You're not just, just tense. And so I asked the first guy, well, what happened? And he started telling me, and the guy that was at odds with him started to say something. I said, oh, no, I'm going to ask you next. You can tell me then. And so they kept talking and so forth. And finally, I could tell that it was getting pretty mellow in there. They weren't shouting at each other. And so I told them, well, this is what we're going to do. And I told the guy that was on the backhoe he needed to do whatever it was. And the plumber was feeling better about how things were. And I said, okay, now y'all can stand up. They stood up and said, by the way, why don't you shake your hands, each other's hands right now? And they did. They shook each other's hands and went out just as happy as they could be. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm an expert on this. A lot of that I thought up right up on at the point when it was happening. But that's how you have to know people and what kinds of people that you're going to be doing this with, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you with that. Now, the next part of this in point C, we're talking about each time you are involved with unconditional love, and which God commands us to do, which turns into unconditional love once it goes into play. I think this is another thing that we should do nearly all the time, it helps so much. I'm looking at where it says, if this is point C, if you don't know them, it's a good idea to ask them questions. And you might think, oh well, sure. I mean, we already know that. But I don't mean to ask questions in the sense of them not being meaningful. Whenever people are you're addressing these things with people, they're on edge, especially if you don't know them or if they are upset about something. And the first thing you can do is just ask them a question. That's what I did when those two guys came in. I didn't know what was going on. I set them down and I asked them, okay, well, what was going on? And they started answering questions. And one thing that they can't accuse you of also, if it's a biblical issue, they can't say, well, you're just trying to preach to me. You can't preach to someone when you're asking questions. That's not preaching, that's listening. That's trying to find out what they believe, who they are, where they go, and all those kind of things. So these are just tips for you if you get in a situation like that. Then when you ask them questions, a lot of times you'll ask them a question, they'll answer it, and then you ask them another question, they answer that. The more that they are answering your questions, the more you're going to know more about them. And it's more likely then that you're going to be a person that they like or a friend or something. As long as you keep asking questions, you'll know who and what they're like. Okay, number four. This love helps others to grow. The love I'm talking about is either impersonal love or unconditional love. And I'm not going to keep saying that throughout the whole thing. I'm going to use unconditional love more because that's when you're actually using impersonal love. Okay, so point A. When a believer treats others with unconditional love, they notice that these people are different than most other people. They don't get angry. Now, stay with me with the first. You might have missed it right up at the front. When a believer treats others with unconditional love, that is what's setting this whole thing up right here. It's not just anybody, but when a believer treats others with unconditional love, they, the people that they're talking to, notice that these people are different than most other people. They don't get angry. They don't argue. They don't try to belittle other people. The behavior of these people can make a person want to calm down and even have better behavior themselves and to treat others in a way he would like to be treated also. He would want to be treated the same way. Now this should be typical. It should be for everyone that they are on their best behavior when things develop, and it's so easy for people to take shots at you, just nitpicking and just being a jerk and that kind of thing. But we can ignore that. That is not the issue. People notice your behavior. And the first thing they notice is if they're angry and you're not, that's unusual. Because usually when you have somebody angry, whoever they're angry at is going to be angry as well. And that is pretty much how it is. And it can get worse and worse. So, and another thing, we want to argue with people. Especially, there are people who are talking to others about the Bible and they aren't agreeing. The last thing you want to do is to argue with them. Because then they think it's a contest. And they think, well, he just thinks he's more knowledgeable about the Bible than I am. And then it becomes a competition. And that doesn't do anybody any good. So we don't want to argue with them. Ask them questions. Well, why do you believe that? Well, where did you get that? Where did you get that kind of understanding? And so forth. So they don't argue. They don't trying to belittle other people. So, the behavior of these people can make a person want to calm down In other words, if they want to argue with you and you're not going to argue, well, they have to calm down some because there's nobody to argue with. And you don't want to argue. And even these people, if you have the right behavior, even they themselves want to treat others in a better way themselves. Some of them will. And would like they would like to be treat others the way that they want to be treated. Point B here. Believers who use unconditional love can also help fellow believers to be inspired to treat others that way as well. Now, you might have a friend, a family member, whoever it may be, and they're with you, and they're watching you as you conduct this unconditional love for these people. And when they see that happen, they can see the difference between you loving them with an impersonal or unconditional love, and these other people just want to get into an argument or something. That can inspire someone that is watching that to do that as well when they meet people. It's they're watching you, and it's so much better. And these days, when there was, I guess, let's say 30 or 40 years ago, people would be cross with one another. They wouldn't believe the same thing or whatever it may be. And there wasn't all the cursing and hollering and all of that, especially all the four-letter words that they use now. I mean, even on TV, these people, I don't know if you saw TV and Biden's son got on there, Hunter Biden, and they call it an F-bomb, and he must have dropped about 40 of them. And that's just rude. It's a lack of having any thing in their mind that is worth saying. So anyway, point number five. Unconditional love forgives rapidly and then moves on. So that sometimes that you're treating someone with unconditional love, and it means you're not going to argue with them. You might be asking them questions to help them and so forth. And they might get to the point to where they forgive you forgive them rapidly and then move on because they realize themselves that they're way out of line. So that's just the title. Here's point number A. There are times when people get angry and they say things they regret and they want to make amends. That is a time. It's a perfect time that we should graciously accept their apology and not make a big deal out of it. That is a part of having unconditional love, because it's hard for people to recognize that they said things that they shouldn't have regret, that they regret, and they want to make amends. That can be embarrassing to people, and when they do try to apologize, then you will immediately accept their apology and not make a big deal out of it. These are just little tidbits that the Holy Spirit uses in order for us to not get in the mud with the other people. Point B here. Unfortunately, some people will never acknowledge their faults and wrongdoings and continue to make a scene. The best way to handle such a situation is to just leave. Same thing if somebody is wanting to argue or quarrel. It takes two people to do that, at least two people. And if you just turn around and walk away, that's the best thing you can do, because they're not going to change and things would just get worse. You're wasting your time. Just turn around and walk away. If someone comes up to you and they are angry, or if they are whatever it is that they're ready to use all this bad language and so forth, just turn around and walk away. That's what you need to do. And I've done that before. Y'all probably done it before also. Okay, number six is unconditional love means you love without conditions or reservations. You ready for number eight? Okay. Now see, we're talking about unconditional love now because we are actually going through what happens in the unconditional love in that it's already in action. Remember we said that impersonal love changes to unconditional love once it's in action? That was the first thing we looked at. Okay, so unconditional love is not making a deal. We have a president that's probably the best deal maker in the whole world, but we don't use making a deal with love. This is when we're talking about love, it's not a thing that we want to make a deal with. You don't make deals when you love someone. So we are not to make conditions or reservations when we're talking about love. I mean, isn't that's crash, isn't it? If you're talking to somebody about love and then you're going to try to make a deal, they know you're not genuine. Okay, so we are not to make conditions or reservations when we're talking about love. Some people will try to manipulate those who love them in order to get something of value from them. Now, you have to be watching out for this as well. Some people try to manipulate those who love them in order to get something of value from them. They do this because they don't know how to love others. They don't know how to love others, so they think, well, I'll just take somebody who loves me and I will manipulate them and I'll get something of value out of it. Now, they would never acknowledge that, but that's what's going on. So they do this because they don't know how to love others, so they just use people instead of loving people. They use them instead of loving them. They never learned that it is better to give than to receive. A lot of people, especially in these days, I fear that our parents have let, the overall parents over the last 20 or 30 years have completely done everything wrong in trying to rear their children. And so these children don't know how to love, and it's because of their parents. Their parents need to train them in so many things that they don't. And I think that doggone cell phone is satanic. That's all they know, is get on there and read, you know, all these things that are going on there. And I think young people these days don't even know how to carry on a conversation. There's an art to doing that. But they don't know what the art is, so they just get on there and keep typing or whatever they do. I don't know. I try to do as little as I can because I got better things to do than... I've got Facebook in my phone, but I've never sent... maybe two times I sent a Facebook thing. And but the rest of the time, I'm too busy to call somebody and say, well, I went to Walmart and got some shoes. Well, just isn't that great? Anyway, that is another thing. They have to restrict it because they don't know anything else. It was several years ago, I was at a movie in here in Brenham. Gary was with me. We were kind of up higher. And this whole row of kids were down there. And I was watching the show, and I thought, what's the matter? Something's wrong here. And then I recognized there was light in there for all the phones they were using. You know, the when your phone is open and using it, it's light. And there were about 10 kids, all in the same row, side by side. And none of them said a word to each other. They were in their, you know, wild list and making notes and all that. And I guarantee you, if you ask them, How'd you like the show? They didn't even know what the show was, because all they were doing is with those phones, doing whatever they do with them. I know I'm an old fogey, but I have other people that have said, yeah, that's a problem. So these people will try to use others if their parents didn't teach them how to love other people, and that it's better to give than to receive. They never got that. Didn't get the memo. Number 7. This is unselfish love, not intimidation or false love. Now, when we're saying this is, we're talking about unconditional love. It's not selfish love, and it's not an imitation or false love either. So let's see what number A says here. Unconditional love is something that helps people stay stronger or stay together. So if you love someone and you are genuine, then it tends to get people together. It certainly has nothing to do with selfishness. See, this, you can't use selfishness in the same tone when you're in unconditional love. False love is where you find selfishness. True love is self-sacrificial and volunteers to do whatever is needed by the one he loves. True love is self-sacrificial. You know what that means? It means everybody in the family would sacrifice whatever is needed in order to help someone in the family. You sacrifice. It might be a ball game. It might be a number of things. But you sacrifice what you want to do in lieu of someone that needs help in your family. And you forget about what you had planned and what you were going to do. And you go to them and you do whatever is needed when they need help. That's what true love is about. Point B. Some people use others to act as if they love them, but it's just a con job to get what they want. Well, that happens all the time. And I'm just putting it out there because I've seen it. I know what's going on. And they will act like they get real sweet around the people that they're doing a con job on, and the people will go and tell others, oh, he's so sweet, they're so sweet. They do this, that, and the other thing, and they're just waiting for a chance to get their money or to get something from them, because there is no love there. It's fake. Number 8. Love without requiring anything in return. Point A. Loving unconditionally does not require anything in return. You're treating them with love, and you're not asking for anything because you're doing it because God expects us to do it. He commands us to do it, and that's the main reason that we're doing it, but it's for our good as well, because we are acting like Christ, because that is how he treats us. One doesn't have to love if they make demands for something in return. So it's not true love if someone makes demands for something in return. Let's say you're going to get married and you're talking to your wife, and not wife yet, but she's your fiance, and she starts making a lot of demands for something in return. You better put that marriage off for a little bit and get to know this woman more, because that is not what love is. There are no strings attached nor anything that is required in true love. A person that will truly love you will give up anything for you. And they're not trying to make a deal with you or require anything from you. The love is what sustains it. This is kind of a long thing. I did this, and I spent about an hour on this one thing. But and it's a little bit long, but I'll go slow, and you might see some things in there that might be useful. This is point B. There was a wife who was complaining that she was the one who was doing everything to keep her marriage together. Her husband was contributing hardly anything to keep the marriage going. She was doing just about all of it. So she told him that he needed to contribute 50% towards their marriage. She didn't ask him, she told him. One thing is certain. She had never heard of unconditional love before, nor that we are to do what we do as unto the Lord. Y'all understand what I'm saying there? Whatever we do, we are to do it as unto the Lord. So when you go out and you're on a job or working somewhere or whatever it is, you're not working for that person. You are. He's paying your check. But the main one that you are working for is the Lord. And you do everything the best you can. You don't loaf. You don't take long breaks or any of that. So, for one thing, for certain, she never heard of unconditional love before, and that we are to do what we do, whatever it is, as unto the Lord. That makes the Lord happy when we do it that way. Now, if she was doing things as unto the Lord, she wouldn't be complaining to her husband, to start with. She would do everything she could to please God and her husband. And so, see, she was thinking about herself and trying to manipulate the whole thing. But she was not pleasing the Lord, and He comes first. So, if she was doing things unto the Lord, she wouldn't be complaining to her husband. She would do everything she could to please God and her husband. Now, she is responsible to God to be the best wife she can be. Regardless of what her husband does, she is not responsible for him. She's not responsible for her husband. But she's responsible for herself, and that's to be the best wife she can be, regardless of what her husband does or doesn't do. So, she is responsible to God to be the best wife she can be, regardless of what her husband does. She is not responsible for him. The more, the more she tries to please her husband, being humble, kind, and loving, the more there is a chance that he will recognize how valuable she is. That is when he might start contributing more to their marriage himself. This is somewhat like unconditional love. Okay? Now, I'm not beating up on the wife. I'm just making something that you can compare. And being in unconditional love for someone, and this is what you do. The whole time, she started with complaining and trying to make things work, and they didn't work because the women are not in charge. And she, you know, said, "You need to get 50% of our marriage. You're not kicking in enough effort." And I actually told a woman one time this, and it started out by her saying, "My husband just doesn't do anything. I have to do everything." You know what the first thing went in my mind? It's probably he's put off because she's complaining. And that would be the first thing that he could think about. But this is what, see, once she understood that she had to be responsible to God for everything that she does, and to be the best wife that she can be, and this has to be genuine, you can't fake this, this has to be the Holy Spirit. She should have gone to the Lord and say, "What do I need to do?" And She saw that whatever she does, she has to do it unto the Lord. And she wanted to be humble. She wanted to be kind. She wanted to be loving to her husband. And that's what bears fruit. When women nag their husbands, it makes it worse. But if she started doing these things, he would start thinking, something going on here. I better start treating that gal a little better because she's valuable. Look what she's got, all these things she's doing. She's lifting me up. She's doing all these things. And then he would want to be closer to her as well. And he would start contributing more to their marriage himself. And that is something somewhat like unconditional love. We got about 12 minutes left. Let's start with number... I was hoping to get to number 10. That's really where we're going to make some leeway. But this is number 9. The believer in the divine dynasty has personal love. Now, we haven't been dealing with personal love up to now. And we're going to see how does personal love fit with unconditional love? Are they the same thing? No, absolutely not. So that's what we're going to see here for a moment. And this is point 9. The believer in the divine dynasphere, you've heard that so many times, I want to just drill it into your mind. The divine dynasphere is God's phase of love. And for the divine dynasphere is God's sphere. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are obedient, when we're doing all these things, we are in this divine dynasphere. I think it of as you can actually see it. Of course, you can't see it, but this is where God is going to train you, whether He is going to do all these wonderful things. And that now we're going to talk about the believer in the divine dynasphere has personal love. Now, what does that mean? Point A. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ makes impersonal love for others possible. Now, when we have... It would be... blaspheming if we said we had impersonal love for God. That would be like God needed to straighten up and do better or something like that. Personal love for the Lord Jesus or for those who know Him, who are matriculating through all the different stages and His personal love is directly for the Lord. But what this does, if you have personal love for the Lord, then that means you are going to have what you have for other people is love. You can love other people because you already personally love God. And that enables us to make impersonal love for others possible. If you don't know God, you don't forget about making impersonal love to others because you've got to know what to do. You've got to know all these things to start with. Point B. Impersonal love is virtue directed towards people. Do you know what virtue is? We're going to see on the next point B that... Well, right here shortly, we're going to give a definition of virtue. Virtue is to be outstanding. It means that you are honest. It means that you are righteous, that you have all these great attributes. So impersonal love is virtue directed towards people. So we're talking about a person, a believer, and he has impersonal love to someone maybe he doesn't know. And when he starts to direct it towards people, it becomes unconditional love. And it's the virtue that is going to hold this whole thing together. You could, instead of virtue, you could say integrity. Those both are terms that use for someone who is directed towards people with impersonal love or conditional love. Unconditional love, excuse me. Point C. Personal love is never virtue. Now, what am I talking about now? Just hang on, you'll see what I'm talking about. Personal love goes to people, but mainly it goes to God. And it's never virtue, because if you have personal love for God, it's all about having mercy and having grace. And all of those things, type of things, go when you love God and it's personal love. These are things that are what you love about Him. And virtue is what the good things you do. And when we're talking about personal love, especially the personal love we have towards God, He doesn't need anything about your virtue, because He is perfect. He's the one that is the highest in our entire universe. So all you're doing is saying or showing your personal love towards Him. But your virtue isn't an issue then. The virtue is when that personal love is turned to people. So let's do it again. Personal love is never a virtue. It is when it goes, it's not when it goes to God, because virtue isn't the issue. It's Him, like I said earlier, giving us the things that we need. So personal love is never a virtue to God, but a reality. We personally love certain individuals, and that means personal love. You know them. That's one of the things that personal love has to do with, is if you don't know them, it's not personal love. And we treat them in a certain way. So we're just introducing this right now. We go up here to point D. When personal love is directed towards people, it is always directed towards a few, like family and friends. If you go out and you are on the street and somebody stops you and says, "Hi, how you doing?" or whatever it is, you're not going to treat them with personal love, because you have to know them and you have to be close to them. Point E. Personal love towards people can be a great thing when there is integrity towards God. So what that means, when you have personal love... Now, we have personal love to God in a way that we have personal love for no other person, nowhere. Because He is God, special. And when we have personal love towards Him, our integrity and our virtue means nothing. We are humble when we have personal love towards God. This is when you say, "Thank you, Lord. Look at all these things you've done for Him," and you praise Him and you do all these things. That's personal love towards God. And that is appropriate and it's right. However, when personal love goes towards people... let me start over. This is point F. But personal love towards people have its weaknesses and problems. Did you ever have a problem with someone in your family or a friend? And you had personal love. You knew them. You knew them personally. And that's fine. However, there is always this problem when you have family members and friends and you really love them. However, eventually some weakness and problems are going to show up. And one reason is because your friends and your families have feet of clay. You know what that means? It means they aren't perfect. And they might not be as good as you thought they were. And sometimes when people have family and friends and they've had personal love all this time, and then their friends or their family does something that is just outrageous in your mind. But you put them up on a pedestal. Some people do this with pastors or other people, and they look at the pastor and think, "Well, he's a pastor," and they put him up on the pedestal. And then eventually somewhere... the pastor is going to do something that this person doesn't like, and he's going to fall and crash and break his toes on his feet or whatever it is, because they had unrealistic expectations about a person. And so if you have that about your family members and they shock you because they did something that you, I didn't think anybody would do that, then you have weaknesses and you have problems. Y'all getting that? I mean, all of you, I assume all of you have a family, and I assume that somewhere along the way there may have been a few problems and a few shoutings and maybe a few shootings. Whatever it was, this is what's the problem about having personal love towards people. Excuse me. So, again, point E, personal love towards people can be a great thing, and they are. I mean, you can just love your families and you have integrity towards God about all this. But the main thing is, don't put them up in a place higher than you think everyone else is, because they're surely going to fall, and that's when there is going to be weakness and problems. The only way to have objectivity is to have impersonal love towards people. And this is a great thing. I mean, when you have personal love with people, and it's your family, and it's your friends, and you already know them, then you can have personal love towards them by when there is a weakness, or there is problems, and they're making a stink for whatever reason there is, you're just going to love them with unconditional love. And that's what holds it together. The one that is using this personal love. Let's say your sister's name is I don't know. Somebody give me a name.
Bonnie.
Okay, Bonnie. Okay, let's say you have a problem with Bonnie, and for whatever reason she doesn't like something, they might not like you or whatever is going on there, then you can have, this says impersonal, but I would say unconditional love towards her. And one of the best things you can do is say, look, I love you. I love you unconditionally. There's nothing that you can do to make me not love you, because God gave me this. He requires this of believers. You can either say that or leave it out. It's your choice. I mean, she might like it. She might think you're being, I don't know what's the word, judging her or something. But that is what keeps it together. Because if you are going to do the same thing that other people are doing, she's going to come up and say, well, you did so-and-so, and I didn't like this. What about it? And instead of them still loving them and taking the slings and arrows that she's throwing to you, in other words, you're not going to say, yeah, but what about you? Look what you've done. That's not unconditional love. Unconditional love is that whatever you say, whatever you do, I'm still going to love you. But what I'm not going to do is get in an argument with you, a shouting thing or whatever it is. That's how that works. And that's what keeps things together. If both people, if nobody has any unconditional love, then that is going to crash. If you're married, it could end in a divorce. Somebody's got to have the virtue and the integrity to say, it doesn't matter what you say, I don't want to fight with you, but I want you to know that I love you. And whatever develops between us, you need to keep that in mind. And if what was her name?
Bonnie.
If Bonnie gets really mad because she thinks you're playing, you're better than she is, and it gets kind of rowdy, what do you do? Maybe we can talk another time. I'm turning and walking away. Oh, we are ready. Time to stop here. But I hope y'all are getting some feeling, some things about this, how this works. And I didn't get to number 10. That's what I'm close to it, but I didn't make it. I'll maybe make it next week, God willing. So anyway, I hope these are on all these are on the internet. on our website, and you can go through those. And what you can do, what I like to do, is if I find one I really like, I highlight it, put a star by it or whatever. I want to remember that one because this is where I have a problem, and I can help people by doing it another way. The clock is now beyond where I normally stop. I'm not bound by the clock, but it's time to end anyway. And since we're past the 12 mark, I'm going to go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this unconditional love and direct love that we can give our friends and family, but sometimes we have to shift into unconditional love. And we love you more and more and more. The more that we learn, the more that we grow, just the greater you get. So we pray that people will try this out for size and see what happens. And we know what's going to happen because you're in the grace. It gives us the grace to do it. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power. And we pray that we will keep this in mind and that we will do your will. We thank you for all of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So unconditional impersonal love is the initial stage of the love process.
Yeah, well, impersonal love is, like you said, the initial first stage. That's when a person is, they're not going to judge people. That's good. And God said to treat each other rightly, you know.